Ki-chi-joji.
You'll get it right one day.
No, that was right. I spelled it exactly right.
I'm not sure about that. This is Eat Your Kimchi
on SBS Pop Asia. Hello, everyone.
This is Martina.
And this is Simon.
Today, we're going to talk about tacos.
And pretty much only tacos for 20 minutes.
Well, hang on. Before we leave you, wait, stop. Hang on. Don't change channel.
Hold on. We almost lost you there.
Oh. We're also going to talk to you about all the random people we've met from our neighborhood in this little tiny shop, the guy that works behind it, and the types of magical flavors he's creating.
We've been teasing this taco episode for so long, and I feel like this better be a damn good one.
I know. I'm sorry.
Okay. This taco shop is very special to us. We told you before about how what we like to do in Japan is to not plan where we're going. Just to go to an area, to walk around and explore, and to find something that's not on the map. I think there's a quote by in Moby Dick. Is something along the lines of, whoa, don't I sound pretentious as hell?
Go for it.
And I think he says something along the lines of, this place wasn't drawn on any map. None of the true places are.
Oh, that's really pretty.
Ain't it, though? I totally butchered it,
I'm sure. My husband, everybody.
Well, like when we talked about the Thai restaurant as well, like I love finding places that are not on Google Maps. I feel so much happier that way.
And what's funny about it is that I think it comes down to like that treasure hunting mentality that we have as kids.
Yes.
You know, whether you are like religious and celebrate or not, if you have had Christmas, that feeling of waking up and trying to like catch Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Who leaves these things?
Of trying to find hidden Easter eggs.
Right. Yep. Whoa. How did it of your tooth fairy coming in and taking your tooth and replacing it with money, you're like, whoa, there's this feeling that we have. And you, when you watch a kid's movie, it's usually an adventure they go on, and there's a treasure, right? Something, friendship or whatever it is, they find something.
Sure.
And I think that when you get older, you kind of lose that ability to treasure hunt.
You lose that sense of discovery. And a lot of people fall into routine. Like they'll go to the same bar over and over again.
The same job and the same route.
I'm not sure if I like asked this question before, but like a lot of the people that we've spoken with in Ki-chi-joji, they go to the same bar over and over again.
They have
like
one to two that they local.
Yeah. And they just go there like repeatedly. And I wonder, do we know more places in Ki-chi-joji, because we like the place we go to most often is Bakwarai. And now this taco shop,
which we're gonna get to.
And I feel like you got to keep pushing yourself to try new places. Don't fall into habit. Discover something new.
I think what it is that there is obviously comfort in routine. So by doing something over and over again, like that was pretty much us by the end of Korea. So at the end of Korea, we would go to Southside Parlor in HPC. They had incredible cocktails, and they had board games, and they had video games that you could play, and that kind of went to our place that we would go to, or we go to Magpies. And after that, we kind of just bounced around between those as we were packing up and heading out,
right,
because you wanted comfort. You didn't want to go somewhere new and run into something or have a something bother you,
right.
If you go to Southside and they know your name when you walk in, you feel like, ah, second home.
Exactly.
Right? So I think that's why routine becomes something important in people's lives.
Sure.
I find it as a really important structure in the morning. When I used to go to a 9-to-5 job, going to a coffee shop, the same coffee shop, and having the barista recognize you is kind of like my brethren. We're both suffering these early morning shifts. But if you go to a new shop, they don't know you.
I agree with that. That's a good assessment right there.
So I do think that's one way to look at why it's comforting. But what we're saying is not to be comfortable.
Right.
We're saying the opposite. We're saying do something that makes you itchy, that makes your skin tingle, that you go, I don't know if I should be in the shop. Like, I don't know, like the Chinese food restaurant.
My skin is tingling to talk about this taco place.
Okay, guys, we're going to describe the walk down to it so you can see.
Don't say where it is.
Well, you do the disclaimer first.
Okay, so here's the thing. This taco shop is very special to us.
Yes.
It's a very small place with a capacity of only 4 people.
Yep.
And I am not going to tell you where it is because, hey, look, we share lots of restaurants that we go to. And we, like, if you're coming to Japan, there's lots of great places and we'll keep on sharing more. But this taco place is mine.
It has a limited amount of lamb.
Exactly. They have incredible lamb tacos. And they...
You fool. You shouldn't have told them.
He only makes a small amount of them.
Yeah.
And every time I go in, like I'll say, do you have lamb tacos? And he's like, I have enough for maybe 2 more. And like, I will have those 2 lamb tacos.
He always knows.
If you jerks Go to My Lamb Tacos. Our friendship is over.
That's right. Right. Someone's going to send us pictures of eating lamb tacos, and we're going to be like, okay. We wandered around a neighborhood.
Yes.
And we're like, oh, what's that thing over there? I don't know. Mm-hmm. And so we went inside. Mm-hmm. That's the description.
Well, what's it look like inside?
Okay. The inside is what I will describe.
Yes.
It's like entering a Harry Potter tent.
It is.
Oh, my God. Uh-huh. So when you see the movie Harry Potter, specifically The Deathly Hallows,
I don't know what you're referring to, so I can't name the movie.
Maybe Goblet of Fire. They go to the first Wizarding Games ever, and then they're all pitching tents outside.
Goblet of Fire.
Woo! And then they go into the tent, and they realize it's like 15 sizes bigger. Uh-huh. Like the snack bar we went to with the ice cream
right.
Sunday.
Yes.
So you enter into it, and you go, what the heck? There's a kitchen, which is basically the size of a kitchen that would be bigger than a truck kitchen.
Right.
Like if you had a van that you lived on the road.
For those of you that have seen our videos when we're cooking at home, it's maybe a third the size of our kitchen.
Yeah, so it's tiny, but it's like a full kitchen. And this man welcomes us in and is pressing tortilla shells from scratch. He's rolling them out with corn. He's got batter in the corner. And he's like, con bonoa. And he's rolling out Mexican batter. And he's got the press machine and everything.
His press isn't like an automated machine. It looks like something you find in a car shop.
Like
it looks
hand
like
hand press.
It's rusted and green. And he just like puts like a little bit of like saran wrap or parchment paper. And then you pull a little ball of corn.
Yep. Sometimes like he uses mixture. Blue maize. Sometimes he uses golden.
He'll put another layer of plastic or saran wrap or whatever parchment is on. And then he'll fold over one piece of metal.
This is metal. So it's like.
And then he'll fold over the other piece of metal. And then he'll throw the latch on. And then he'll like crank the latch to flatten it. So this is all, none of it's automated.
You know what this is?
It's all manual.
Oh my God. Taco Shop. Shop is the amazing coffee shop we went to where the guy hand grinds everything. Yes.
There's something great about like lack of automation. If you manual do everything labor, by hand, it tastes better.
Now, there are only four of us in the shop,
yes.
Maximum capacity, and he has on a brown piece of paper, the kind that you would scribble on at a restaurant, like at a bar, and then you'd like rip it off and throw it in the garbage. It's like brown paper like that.
It's like wax paper.
Yeah. And he's just like sloppily written on the menu of the day. Mm-hmm. And he has these incredible selections. You can do his menu selection for $9.
Also some menu. That's what he'll do.
Or the omakase.
No, omakase is like a full set. It's just osusume.
Okay. And then after you choose something from the menu, he just makes them bit by bit. You just have to wait. If there's three people ahead of you and three people ordered four tacos, you're fifth on the line.
Yep.
And he has an incredible music selection. Mm-hmm. Like all the bands in there were like, what? It's like...
Well, because when we were first there, he was playing Phoenix.
Yep.
Right?
And we were just dancing along and singing.
So it was great. Second time we were there, he was playing Sid from the internet.
Yep.
He played Beach House. Actually, the very first time there, he played Beach House. So he has a great music selection.
LCD Sound System.
Yeah, he played some LCD Sound System.
And I recommended to him Benzino and a bunch of other people that then we came back and he was playing as well. Like, it's just really cool. And there's nowhere to not turn where you're looking at a person. It's like being in a closet and eating with a bunch of strangers.
Whenever we see him, he's always wearing the same thing. He's got a little like beanie on.
Yep.
And he's got this long-ish trench coat.
Yep.
It's like one of those like looser fitting kind of trench coats that he has on. The whole place,
Harry Potter glasses.
Yes, he's got Harry Potter glasses. The whole place is very dark.
Yep.
He's got a little Bluetooth speaker on the little tiny shelf in the corner.
Yep. And there's a single hanging light bulb, an exposed one, and on it is hanging a bag of corn.
Yep.
And then below that is a fold out table. Like it really does look like he used to cook in his van.
Right.
It feels like he made this from van life.
Yep.
And it folds out and you're like, how small is this? And then you have three choices. You can order sake or wine or cocktail. And when we asked for sake, he had six gigantic bottles, the kind you'd have in an izakaya, not at a tiny taco truck shop. And he asked us what kind we wanted.
Like high quality sake.
Yeah, we were like, what is happening? And something that I've never seen before. Like we've only been in Japan for 2 years, but I've never seen someone take out what looked like a French press that you boil on the stovetop.
No, like those Turkish coffee.
Turkish coffees, exactly. Uh-huh. It looked like a Turkish coffee holder with no Turkish coffee insides.
Yeah.
And he poured the sake in, and then sticking out of the wall was this rectangle. And I looked into it and it was filled with hot water. It was a hot water bath.
So he submerges that little Turkish coffee thing full of sake into that. And when it warms up, then he could pour it out for us.
I've never seen that. Maybe that's what's happening in the back room.
What's amazing about it also is that when we first came there, our very first time, we saw that he was making tacos. I'm like, oh, this is pretty dope. And when we asked for alcohol, we said, do you have any like margaritas? And he's like, no margarita.
Yeah.
Next time we were there, he's like, I have margaritas.
Yep.
Like we suggested something, and then he went out and bought all of the proper like alcohol for it. He even got like the chili
imported from Mexico. Remember?
Imported. None of it had any English on it. None of it had any Japanese on it. It was all written in Spanish.
Yep. And he didn't even just do that. It wasn't some crappy tequila bottle. Mm. He had, do you want blue agave or do you want the silver one? And no, we were like, what?
Proper quality stuff. Yeah.
Fresh limes, and then he makes it in front of you.
Yeah.
So it is like being in a really intimate closet kitchen where the chef is right there making things for you. We haven't even talked about the flavor.
Because what I want to say about the flavor is that out of the 5 or 6 times that we've been there, at first we're like, oh yeah, this is pretty good.
It's good food, yeah.
Second time we're like, oh wow, this got better. Third time, like, holy smokes. Every time we go there, he gets rid of the weakest recipe that he has.
Seems that
and
way.
He makes something new.
Yeah, you're totally right.
And like whenever we try, like we describe it for him, he's like, oh, okay. So then like I think he remembers it and he changes things up. He definitely has the passion of a foodie. He's not just doing this out of just like, ah, I need a job.
Open up a shop.
He really loves what he's doing. And we know that he's a foodie because one time there was a group of people there. And they were Japanese.
We were all talking about like chefs and restaurants and stuff. Yeah.
And one of them asked, you know, what was our favorite meal in Japan? Mm-hmm. And Martina said Sugalabo, right? At which
that's
point...
That's the video, guys, when we go to Ehime.
Yeah.
The one that says Ehime with Sugalabo. That's the video where I was like, oh, this place is great.
And when like Martina said that, the people didn't really know what it was. But the chef knew, and he had a smile on his face, and then he started describing to them like
Joel Robuchon.
Yeah, that like Suga-san used to work under Joel Robuchon. He opened up a lot of restaurants, and I'm like, holy smokes, this guy knows a lot of like food history.
Because a lot of the times when we do videos with chefs, like when we went with Saito or like with Tenzushi, there'll be a lot of people that are like, yeah, but did you have this or that? And I'm like, I'm not saying anything against it. I'm just letting you know that the places that we're trying to visit are places that other foodies talk about.
Yeah.
We're not just trying to go to some like schmuck store and tell you this is Michelin star.
Like when we talk about Saito Sushi or Sugalabo or Tenzushi, these are like legitimately highly honored restaurants. We don't emphasize enough. We're just like, this is good food.
Yeah.
No, these are like written about in books and honored.
I did some like back history on some of them. And like some of the back history, like with Suga, it's like how long he's been famous for. And we didn't know him. Like maybe people in France know it. But like we just met the sweetest man.
Sure.
The sweetest, most best looking, randomly. We always joke about it. He's like a supermodel. He has a French accent. He turns to the wind. His perfect hair.
He speaks
wings.
Japanese, French and English.
He's a chef. He's nice. Yeah. And we were like, this man doesn't make any sense.
Somebody better put a ring on that right away.
Yeah. Because, it doesn't make any sense that, like, we would make something up about this. Yeah. Like, it's just unfair. He's like
an anime. Point is, the taco shop owner knows about him. And he knows about the history
of him. By
the way,
pause a second. I think it would be absolutely hilarious if the next time we see Suga, he's like, I listen to your podcast.
Oh, hey,
I think Martina finds me attractive.
Suga, if you're listening, I also find you attractive. You're a good-looking man.
Everyone was jealous.
I'm not sure if you're married, but whatever woman's listening needs to propose to him right now.
Or man, if you're a man.
He's got it together.
Yes, very unfair. It's like being around confidence. It's like just you want to bottle it and be like, can I have that?
It was amazing because those same people that we were talking about for like our favorite meal in Japan, like we started our conversation with them.
Yeah.
And one of them said, oh, my daughter is a skateboarder. I'm like, oh, okay. That's
you know, when you're just making small talk with people,
I'm like, oh, you know, skateboarding? Like, I didn't know that young kids in Japan go skateboarding.
And how old is she, around 7?
They said she's 7 years old. I'm like, oh, whatever, 7 years old, you probably suck.
We all suck at seven.
Look, when you're 7 years old, you suck at most things that life have to offer.
You run for a ball and you kick and you do that foot swing where you miss.
You don't have your stuff together
yet. But then she's like, oh, here's a video. And she turns her phone over. No, she didn't even do that. Her friend did. He's like, this is a video of her daughter.
No, it wasn't her friend. It was her husband.
Was it her husband?
Yeah, they were married.
Oh, I just thought everyone was standing around together.
No, they're...
Because there was a girl, and a guy.
All three of them were married to each other, two of them were married and one was a third
wheel. I didn't hear them talk about being married.
Okay.
Okay. Anyhow, the third one was Dan. Dan, if you're listening, he's like, that's not nice.
It's okay, Dan does listen to our podcast.
No, that's right. People already told Dan that we've been saying things about him, and he's like, is that so?
Is that so? Why, I never.
Indeed, sir.
So.
Anyhow, then he's like, oh yeah, here's a photo of my daughter skateboarding.
Video,
And we look at this video. She's doing flips off like half pipes.
She's on a half pipe that's much taller than her.
Grinding through a skate park and blowing past these dudes
and Dan,
3 times her height.
The little wimp that he is, and Dan's not listening, doesn't matter. he was telling, because Dan skateboards as well.
Yeah, he does. And he tells us how hard it is.
And he's telling us, because I don't know anything about skateboarding, so I'm only impressed by the 7-year-old because Dan said that he's working up the courage to do a half pipe.
Yep.
And I'm like, this girl's doing a massive half pipe at seven. That's really impressive.
That's crazy.
So when we told him, like, this girl is too talented for this age.
Like, I think a piece of food might have fallen out of my mouth. It was one of those embarrassing moments you bite into a taco and you're like, oh, but
Let me just tell you. This girl at 7 years old was doing that. When I was in grade three and kids were, 9 years old there?
Yeah.
I was in a class of people that didn't know how to tie their shoes. All right? They didn't know how to tie their shoes. This kid's seven and rocking a half pipe. Yeah. You sign her up to something right now. And the parents are like, no, it's not that big of a deal.
And we're like, no, she could be absolutely pro. And they all laugh.
She'll be rich.
And then they were
be rich.
I know. And they're like, pro skateboarding. And I'm like, what the?
Yo, how do we emphasize this to you?
Probably going to be pretty.
Yeah.
A probably absolutely gorgeous Japanese girl.
Yeah.
Is already cool.
Yep.
And she's going to be older soon and be the most wicked cool role model on the planet for both Japanese women and athletes.
Oh my God.
And they're going to make her do something different?
There's so much profound potential in this girl.
Who has that power?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
We found her.
And she meets us on the street in Kichijoji. I'm listening to your podcast. I've signed my daughter up.
Why does everyone listen to our podcast all of a sudden?
No one does.
Let me just say also, it was interesting how we started to establish our friendship with this taco shop owner. We asked him.
This place that doesn't exist.
And we asked him and said, how did you learn about making tacos?
Yeah.
Right?
I imagine the story of him being like, I traveled by plane and I backpacked through the wilderness.
I thought he backpacked.
I went to Mexico where I was a busboy and I learned how to play the enchilada or something.
He's like, YouTube. Like, what do you mean? He's like, I watched videos on YouTube and I learned how to make them. And I'm like, first of all, that's weird to open a business based off of something you learned off of YouTube.
But we have a business based off of YouTube.
Yes. But I wouldn't, if you watch any of our videos, don't be inspired enough to create a business off of what you watch from us, because I wouldn't. And the point is, he just watched YouTube videos, was inspired, and then started making amazing tacos.
Yep.
Like, they're proper, American style, not the crunchy ones.
But like how we said American when we should say Mexican.
Well, I haven't had them in Mexico, so I can't say.
Oh, really? I've been to Mexico.
But what the place that we had in Texas that was that had Mexican people, or Koki barbecue truck in LA that was Mexican inspired, Mexican Korean. They have those small little
corn
3-inch corn tortillas that are soft, not crunchy.
Wait a second.
What?
You have been to Mexico. We went there for one of our tours.
Right. When I was there, we didn't have tacos.
We had taco stuff, enchiladas.
But I didn't have an actual taco. True. We had one restaurant that night and then we flew out the next day.
I've also been to Mexico without you.
You're right.
And the tacos were like that.
Okay. Good so tacos. I'm just saying I wasn't able to. So the point is, he learned just from watching YouTube videos how to make tacos. But what's amazing about this is that he doesn't do traditional taco flavors.
Yep.
He is making Japanese fusion tacos that are actually impressive.
Yep. My current favorite taco is the chicken liver mousse. It is a taco with gentle chunks of pate that he's made and then little pops of mousse like guacamole, you know, you have soft guacamole. And then he puts a little bit of his homemade, slightly spicy chili sauce on top of it and sprinkles a bit of cilantro and then gives you a container of limes.
Mm-hmm.
And when you eat this, it's got the smooth texture of a hot dog,
right?
Like where hot dogs and sausages are kind of smooth.
Mm-hmm.
But then the puffiness of the mousse is creamy, like it has a different texture, and then you've got this little pop of heat, but it's everything is super sweet because chicken liver and mousse is quite sweet. And I go, what the heck? And the outside shell is cooked perfectly because he fries them before he adds the toppings, and it's crunchy but soft and chewy. And then you look around this tiny shop with amazing music and you're like, what is happening?
He's got cilantro and he's got lime for it. He makes another amazing taco, anago, which is eel, I'm pretty sure. And he lightly fries it on the stove top and it gets it nice and crispy and hot. And then he puts on some little salsa that he made on his own.
A different one, yeah.
And it just works.
Yep.
And this is what I like about fusion food. When you can take both elements of something and do it well. There have been some times in Korea in which we've had Mexican food and we said it's disgusting. Like in one of our first videos.
Yeah.
That's not an example of us rejecting hybridity or rejecting the idea of cultures mixing. Sometimes fusion food just sucks.
Sometimes food just sucks.
Sometimes food just sucks.
You know what's funny that you mentioned
that? But this food, this hybrid, this fusion food works so well.
You know what is so funny about what you just said?
Why?
People have recently told us that they wish that we kept in the videos that we filmed that we didn't like, because we've got some videos where we got into a restaurant and we didn't like it.
Yeah.
And we just were like, we're not filming this anymore. Or something happened afterwards and we didn't like the place. And we were like, we're not supporting this place, right? So we didn't put them up. those videos that people were angry at when we were like, this is terrible pizza, or like, this food is awful.
Right.
How did people not understand that we just meant this one?
Sure.
We had hundreds of videos talking about Korean food.
Yeah.
And then we're like, this toast really sucks. And people are like, you ruined our culture. And I'm like, no, dude, this chain is real bad.
Yeah.
And then like a year later, we did a new toast and we were like, this is some good toast.
If we ever criticize any food in the past, it's not because of like imperialism that we're trying to...
No.
Sometimes food just sucks. And it's difficult for you to see if you're like, just like... focusing on like
the culture, yeah,
the culture, but no, sometimes you got to taste food, be like, oh yeah, this isn't good.
Yeah,
point is, this guy's tacos are amazing. Yeah. This taco shop is amazing.
Before we sign off and say bye to everyone,
you never find it, never find it. And if you eat my lamb tacos, I will never forgive you.
They just order everything but the lamb tacos. So when you come in, the lamb tacos are over there, but there's nothing that I want.
Oh gosh,
I'm so mad.
I'd be so mad.
I would like to sign off by going back and forth and listing tacos from the place that we didn't talk about. Just naming them.
Lamb.
Everybody have an excellent weekend,
steak.
And we'll talk to you next week. Chicken mole.
Oh, the mole,
chicken
mole. He had the mushroom one. That was really good.
Ceviche.
Oh, the ceviche.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what else did he have there? That was really good. Oh, gosh. I can't
Nama think. Steak. The fresh steak.
I said the goose steaky.
Oh, the goose steak. Yep.
Okay, you know what? We just got to go eat some tacos right now.
Oh, the pork mole and the one that he gave me last time that had the ground smoked peppers on it.
Oh, the chorizo.
Chorizo. Oh, my God.
Okay, we're going to go have some tacos right now. And if I see you there, I'm going to fight you outside. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Grab the Eat Your Kimchi podcast from iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
SBS Pop Asia.